That'll be good. And I said, if you don't have a car, you just see a car, can we get a dark car?
How about that, Karen, maybe?
Yeah, if you don't have to move your car. This is for you all. Good.
Thank you, Mr. President. If you don't get one, you're not ever gonna see.
Only thing that you got. Only thing worse than that, you need to see.
Yes.
Well, we can hold on.
That's good, Josh, that's good.
Everybody think that's a great picture. I'll draw it, I'll get it real. Remember how we used to do some of the Sunday evenings and we'd all get it and talk for about. I'll try to off, I'll get you some. Wait till you go around Sunday, wait till you go.
Sunday? Or tonight?
Why? Brad?
You hear what she said? Huh? Who's first?
I know he lives where he'd be back. He'll be back.
Ask her that.
We don't know.
Nobody else?
Hey, Dave, here's one.
There you go.
It fits everything we're doing.
Take that and then give it to the people.
For your class?
For your class?
It could be yours.
Okay. Okay.
Not me.
I'm giving it to you. I'll give you that.
No. Well, I want to try that 55.
Dave, you have to suffer in my forehead. Oh, I hear you.
It's AI.
I didn't hear you say it.
James, are you doing, doing an answer?
Start.
Whenever you get back. I think they start.
They were five, but. Yeah, but there were two.
In the comments. They kind of start shutting it down.
How you fall asleep?
Oh, yeah.
Dogs are.
Yeah.
Talking about number.
Yeah. Well, pull up down and go down the.
You said you were.
You know, back there by the ground.
I would mark across the third part.
Yeah, don't walk.
Or he don't play foot. Well, they go through that.
Yeah.
But we're not doing it this time, so you're not coming together this time.
You're coming together.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna go later and he's gonna go later.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
The first song that we will sing this evening, the title, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. This is song number 19, if there's anyone following along in our hymnals this evening. All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, song number 19.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, break forth a royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Break forth a royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Our next song selection this evening is number 871. In His Time, song number 871. After this song, I'll ask Jamie Poe to lead our minds in prayer. In His Time, song 871.
In His time, He makes all things beautiful. In His time, Lord, please show me every day, as You're teaching me Your way, that You do just what You say in Your time.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You in prayer once again, thanking You for the opportunity to meet here and study Your Word. Father, we ask that You be with each and every one of us that's here tonight, that as we look at the Scripture, that we'll study it, remember it, try to understand what it means to the best of our knowledge and apply that to our daily lives. Father, be with all the sick that we have here and the shut-ins and those who can't get out and those that it takes a lot for them to get out. Be with Miss Pearl and Naomi and Dustin and Brother Wall that comes in, and just we pray that You give them the strength that they need to continue to come, because it's an encouragement to us when they're here.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, be with this congregation as we start a new evangelism program. We just pray that everyone will get behind it, and those that maybe sometimes don't do as much as they could will see what a great work this is and what a great benefit it could be, and those folks will get involved also. Be with Doug as he travels. Be with him tonight. That we don't know where he's at. We just pray that everything's okay with him and that something hasn't happened that we don't know about. Father, be with this country. It seems to be more in turmoil and more division and fighting and feuding each and every day. We just pray that more people will find you and that we can have the peace that we once enjoyed in this country. And Father, we think that it's due to a lot that there's been a falling away over the years and that Christianity isn't as big as it once was. We just pray that through some of the things that we do and maybe other congregations do, that we can bring this country once again back to where it's a country of you and your word and what you stand for. These things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our next song selection this evening, the title is I Want to Be a Worker. This is song 297 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals this evening. I Want to Be a Worker.
I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker every day. I want to leave the erring in the way that leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker strong and brave. I want to trust in Jesus' power to save. All who will truly come shall find a happy home in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord.
If you would at this time mark our song of encouragement. That song that we will sing after this evening's lesson is number 557. That song title, Rock of Ages. Song number 557, Rock of Ages. That's an encouragement hymn that we'll sing later this evening. Once you have that song marked, we will sing together, Oh, Listen to Our Wondrous Story. This is song 482 for anyone following along in our hymnals this evening. Oh, Listen to Our Wondrous Story, song 482.
Listen to our wondrous story, count it once among the lost. Yet one came down from heaven's glory, saving us at awful cost. Who saved us from eternal loss? What did He do? Where is He now? In heaven into could His place have taken, highest of the high though He, the loved one on the cross forsaken, was one of the Godhead three, who saved us from eternal loss. What did He do? Where is He now? In heaven interceding. Will you surrender to this Savior, to His scepter humbly bow? You too shall come to know His favor. He will save you now. Who saved us from eternal loss? What did He do? Where is He now? In heaven interceding.
Okay, we're going to have a Bible class, and one of those times whenever those of us have tried to put something together tonight, this is what you would call in football a punt, you know, where it's a yardage game and nobody's doing much progress, so you punt the ball, just try the next time. So that's what we're doing. So my appreciation tonight to Sister Krista. This is the lesson that she was going to teach her class tonight. So she's given this to me for me to present to you tonight. So I'm thankful for that. And we will, I think it's going to be a good study. It's a good topic. And the topic is being a servant, and specifically being a servant to God. When we think about servants, tell me some things about being a servant, or the role of a servant, or the attitude, or their hierarchy. Talk to me about some of those things. What's it mean to be a servant? What's a servant do? What's the position of a servant? That kind of thing. Tell me about that.
Be obedient.
A servant is obedient. And to whom are they obedient?
The master.
To the master, ruler, king, employer. Something like that, right? Father, mother, right? Something like that. There's some role. Someone is the servant, and someone is the leader, right? And what are some other things about a servant?
You have to humble yourself because someone's above you.
Can't be a very effective leader if you don't have servants who are humble, right? They have to be willing to, a servant has to be willing to take direction. Servant that is stubborn and rebellious will be what God would call an unprofitable servant, right? One who does not bring honor, does not bring any assets to those with whom he's charged to serve, right? So we don't want to be that.
Be a worker.
Be a worker.
Have a good work ethic.
Mm-hmm. What's it mean to offer service? What are some things about service? A servant produces service, right? They perform service.
A servant needs to find out what the head of that servant, his boss, her boss, needs to find out what is needed. Learn how to do it, and then go away and do it, and the boss has perfect confidence that you're going to do it right.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that. You're hired.
But on the other hand, you're fired.
Remember
earlier somebody made the comment, you got to do what you have. You know, have a good attitude, and if you don't, you get
That's right. And yes. So I didn't know whether to start this. Oh, she's got it on. You do have it on here. Philippians 2. Okay. Let's. I didn't know whether to start this or end this in this study, but we'll start, in my opinion. Well, it's not just my opinion, it's a fact, with the greatest of servants. Who is the greatest servant of all?
Jesus,
right? And let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. There's a attitude there in verses 3 and 4. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. The writer says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." So there's that first thing is the attitude, right? The first thing is the attitude. He wants us to be like-minded, that we don't do anything through selfish ambition. What is selfish ambition?
Putting somebody down to get to where you want to go.
It may not be to put someone else down, but that could be a part of it, right? Some people can't find anything very good about themselves, so the only way they can feel good about themselves is to put others down.
It's all about me.
It's all about me.
Or how, doing it, they could actually be doing the good deed, but it's look at me as I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So it's your attitude.
Look at how good I am, right? Look at how good I am. So, selfishness is the opposite of selflessness, right? So we don't want to do anything through selfish ambition. Is all ambition selfish?
No.
No. So ambition itself is not selfish. But when it's paired, when selfishness is paired with ambition, then the ambition becomes selfish. You know, that's the thing. It's kind of like we talk about money. A lot of people quote, they say, money is the root of all evil. And that's not what the scriptures say, is it? It says the love of money is the root of all evil. In other words, I've heard that said before, and I've said it. It's not new with me, but I use it a lot. You know, I have the money in my hand, right? I have the money. I'm controlling the money, right? But if the money gets into my heart, then now I'm being controlled by the money, right? I have the love of it, you know. I'm serving it instead of it serving me. And so that's the same way here, is I should be ambitious. Should we be ambitious in service to God? We absolutely should be ambitious servants of God, but not from a selfish point, right? You can do that more if we have that attitude that in the last part of verse 3 there, let each esteem others better than himself. What's it mean to esteem others? What's it mean? What's esteem mean?
Think of them more highly.
Mm-hmm. It's how you think of somebody. You hold them in high esteem, right? Right, right. Absolutely, James. It's if we value others more than ourselves, then when there's an opportunity to serve, we'll take advantage of it, won't we? Oh, I need to do this for so and so. You know, I need to do that. We're going through evangelism program, right? And if we esteem others greater than ourselves, we're going to participate in that program. We are. The gospel is a great secret that shouldn't be.
Right?
Yeah. It needs to be. It's good news, and we want to tell good news. So we're going to get that opportunity as we move forward through our evangelism classes and our program. In verse 4, he finishes there, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. When God questioned Cain about the death of Abel, his brother, what question did Cain ask of God?
Am I my brother's keeper?
I don't know what's happened to him. You know, which he knew exactly. He was lying, you know. Not only was he was lying, but even if he wasn't, the attitude's terrible. If Abel had just gone on a trip and, you know, he didn't check in, hey, where are you going or anything, you know, if he was just gone for a while. And, well, where's Abel? Well, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Reading this right here, reading verse 4 here, what's the answer to that question? The answer is yes. We are our brother's, our sister's keeper. Certainly, that's what we should be. When we're to look out only not only for our interests, but the interests of others. And the interests of others will take precedence when we have the attitude before, and that is esteeming others higher than ourselves. We may do something for ourselves too, but we're going to put the priorities of others ahead of self. We're going to continue on in verses 5 through 8. This notes had 3 and 4 there, which is great. But I you know, going on, he sets the Philippian writer there, sets that tone with those two verses. And then he starts talking about Jesus. He starts talking about Jesus next. Let's look at that. Pick it up in verse 5 there. And I'm reading from the New King James. I've switched mine over to New King James because that's what the Pew Bibles are. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So, you've got that in mind. I've been trying to talk to you about this attitude, esteeming others better than yourself, not being selfish in your ambition. He says, I want to let this mind, this attitude, be in you, which first came from Christ Jesus. This selfless attitude first manifested itself in Jesus. If you think about that, Jesus was in the beginning with God, right? Let us make man in our image. That's Jesus right there. And knowing God exists outside of time, he can see the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. So he knew what was going to happen. And from the creation, we knew man was going to fall and that man was going to need a Savior. And so this mind of Christ manifests itself in a time, but it existed all along. So it manifests itself in Jesus coming as a man, agreeing to be born as a man. Where's God and where's man in the hierarchy of things? Where's God?
There is no one higher.
He's at the pinnacle, isn't he? Yeah. The highest point you can be. The Creator, the Almighty, all-loving, all-knowing, all-powerful. And there are these dust people, right? Made from dirt. We're down here. We're the made. We're not the maker. God is the maker. And we're the created beings. We're of his handiwork. You build a, you know, we're building robots, right? We're building robots, and just all from many times we've made machines, right? And we made those machines to do what?
Service,
some form of service. They're to help us do something or to do something for us, right? That's the way the maker and the made, that's the relationship between that. We're to serve God. We are his workmanship. But Jesus is God. And it wasn't robbery to be equal with God the Father, because he's also God. But he made himself of no reputation. He took the same form as the servants. He became one of us. God became one of us. And coming in the likeness of men, he humbled himself. So not only did he come down, it was a monstrous step. I don't know if there's any proper way to describe it. It was a monstrous step for him just to come down and live as a human being. It was a monstrous step for him to do that. Yet he did that. And when he was here and sees all the sin from all of eternity back and going forward, He offered himself as a sacrifice to pay the price for all of us fallible, vile, sometimes vile, insubordinate people. James.
You know, we need to really stop and think about our status. And if we think about our status according to what we just read here, God actually came here to serve us. So when we think our status is at this level, we're wrong. Because as all you've been saying in these verses here is that we're here to serve. We're not here to serve just God.
Mm-hmm.
We're to serve our fellow Christians and non-Christians to an extent to teach them the correct way. That's what Christ did. He served in a teaching manner to teach all. And, you know, I think about it when I say all that, that where he washed Peter's feet. Oh, no, you can't do that. So.
Yes, he washed his disciples' feet. And that's about as, at that time, about as lowly a servant job as you could be, right? They wore a lot of open-toed shoes. They didn't have concrete sidewalks and roads. They had dirt roads. And they had animals that would pack animals too, and animals have their own kinds of emissions, and you know, they don't have people that just train to hire to go out and clean the streets and the pathways. So there's lots of things that your feet might collect along a dirt path back in that day, a well-traveled road. And for Jesus to wash their feet, he told them he did that as service to them, but as a what? As an example. An example. For us to do one of the... Yes, Jamie.
I'm just going to let you know Doug's okay.
Okay, good.
He's on his way.
He's on his way. Okay, all right. That's fine. Well, he can just be a student tonight if he gets here. So.
This passage where it talks about robbery, most of the other translations that I looked at said he didn't... look at that as something to be grasped. It doesn't mean that he didn't have the right, because he did. Jesus had every right to equality, a continuation of the equal relationship that he had with the Father. He had that for all of eternity. There was no beginning of that relationship. That relationship had always been. And Jesus didn't, you know, sometimes we can have the mindset that, you know, We have a certain rank or a certain place that is deservedly ours. And that might be true in certain circumstances. But if we're imitating our Lord, whatever that rank is, we're not going to grasp that. We're not going to cling to that and think it's something special.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to denounce that and seek a lowlier position. That's not easy to do. Our Lord did it to perfection.
Yeah.
And the more we do that, the more we look like Jesus.
That's right. I'll go back over here to the NIV on that same, and I think you're right. And I think this is probably a great translation for that. It's talking about Jesus here. Verse 6, the NIV says, "Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage." Which describes Jesus and his mindset and his activities to a T. I don't believe there's ever an example written where Jesus used any of his power. Jesus had all power, did he not? Did he ever use it to benefit himself? He was challenged to do so, wasn't he? He was challenged to do so when he was tempted by Satan. Well, you're hungry. Jesus, I know you can turn these stones into bread, right? Well, just change them into bread and eat something. Why are you, that's silly to sit there and be hungry, be starving, right? He didn't do that. When he was hanging on the cross, someone challenged him. If you're really the Son of God, do what? Come down off that cross. Show us all how powerful you are. Thank God he didn't do that. He didn't give in to that ego. I'll show you all. Because if he'd done that, we'd be lost. He wouldn't have followed through with that sacrifice to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Jesus was humble, but didn't have to be. He could show us all up in any contest and anything that he wanted to do so. But he is truly humble because his heart is filled with love for his creation. And when he sees vile mankind try to challenge him, I hate God. I don't like God. I don't believe in God. Jesus and God the Father looks down at us and hears us say those things, or and he says, my children are lost. He doesn't take the attitude, I'll show them, I'll grind them to a pulp. I'll strike them dead right now. He could do that. But he looks down on us with humility and love. And that's what he did on the cross. So yes.
Throughout the history of mankind, men and women have been servants for different reasons.
Yes.
Right? Some were compelled to be that.
Yes.
His was a voluntary choice that he made. And that's what servanthood in his kingdom is, right? It's not
slavery.
Yeah,
it's not, servanthood.
Yes,
right.
I'm not going to be a Christian because you have forced me to be a Christian.
Right.
That does me no good. But if I'm a Christian because I have a sense of duty to God and to my fellow man, then I'm gonna find a reward someday for that.
Right. Right. My master is a loving, benevolent being who will not let the labor of his servants go to waste. Right? Yeah. We weren't captured on the continent of Africa and brought here and forced into slavery. Forced into servitude. We were called by the message of the gospel, the hope. That's what we're called for. Okay, so that sets us with the mindset and the best example, right? When we're talking about this topic of servants. We'll just go through Krista's notes here. Let's turn to the book of John. Chapter 12. Let's see if we need to pick up anything. It shows verse 26 here. It's verse 26 reads, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. We want the honor from God, right? That's the only honor that really will last, right? We can, break a record for some kind of athletic feet, and that's fun, that's nice, but that honor is temporary. That won't be here in the forever. And it might not be here very long on the earth. Somebody gets a little faster, a little stronger, a little quicker, whatever, right? A little better. But the honor that comes from God is eternal. It's well done, good and faithful servant. That's the honor that comes from God. Here's more from Jesus. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and it quotes verse 45 here. Let's always look up before and after a little bit to make sure we don't need to pick up something else for context. Yeah, let's pick it all up from... this is where James and John come to Jesus, don't they? What's their beef here? What are they concerned about? Who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom, right? Yeah, I want to sit on your right side. You know, I want to be right there with you in your kingdom. Does that sound like selflessness? It sounds ambitious. But what kind of ambition does that sound like? Conceited. Selfish. Ambition, right? Not a good attitude.
Sounds like a normal attitude of mankind.
Sounds like a lot of us. Sounds like me sometimes. Yeah. Sounds like me sometimes. I've been thinking about that a lot. I've been thinking about that a lot in my personal and professional life. I'm a competitive person. I'm very competitive. Sometimes that gets the better of me. I should be ashamed. Really. I like recognition. I like to be the winner. I like to, you know, some of it's not terrible. I want to do a good job, you know, that kind of thing. And my industry has awards for that. And if you make these awards, you've recognized that somebody's done a pretty good job, right? And that's okay. But... I think I need to be more humble in the pursuit of those things. You know, do I have the award, or does the award have me? It goes back to that, doesn't it? You know, James, has any of your minds ever set a production record?
Yeah.
Did that feel pretty good?
It did.
Nothing wrong with that. But does that have you, or do you have it, right? I mean, that's the thing, right? So... some of it's our society, but Paul tells us that we need to be in the world, but not of it, right?
That's hard.
But it must be attainable to some degree, because God doesn't ask us to do anything we're not capable of doing. God does not ask us to do anything we're not capable of doing. I mean, it doesn't mean we're always going to do it perfect. It doesn't mean we're going to do it all the time. But we can hit that from time to time. I believe that. And I think when we do that, that we're being what God wants us to be. And we just need to strive to be that more often. More often, right? Let's see here. Mark 10. And let's pick it up there at the other, for one thing, certainly that was selfish ambition or conceit there from James and John, right? But look at 41. Look at that. That just struck me as that. Look at 41. Someone read that for us. Let's get some others. Maybe somebody that hasn't spoke up or something. Just read verse 41 for us. Seems like a small thing. Mark 10, 41.
And when the tent, or you moved it on, and my eyes focused, you moved it on.
heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John.
Does that sound like brotherly unity? Or does that sound like strife? Does God want strife amongst his people? No. They had a great mission to accomplish, right? Evangelizing the world. It's hard to do when you're trying to rank one another, isn't it? These brothers need some correction. Jesus is about to give it to them.
You remember at the feast when what John was described of, he was given a certain title, I think, there, you're trying to read my mind, I guess, but that he was called the disciple whom Jesus loved.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Here he doesn't appear all that low.
Right. Certainly not to his brothers. His brothers got upset. I'm sure Jesus was upset with him too. But, you know, he's a loving God who wants to correct him, right? In a good way. God corrects us not to be harsh to us.
That's right.
So he wants us to grow.
In the same manner, when we find ourselves slipping and not measuring up, we can look at that same thing and say, well, you know, Jesus loved John, even though John was pretty despicable right here in this moment.
Absolutely. And to his brothers especially.
Yeah.
His brothers didn't have quite that same level of understanding that Jesus did, because Jesus can see and he knows, you know. They're human beings. Says, these two guys want to be first in his kingdom. Right there, his right-hand men. Mm-hmm. Well, what do they think? What do those two think of the rest of us? We're going to just bow down to them or whatever? They're going to shout out commands to us and tell us to do this? So Jesus corrects them right here. Let's pick it up in verse 42. Thank you, James. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Let's stop right there. Now you Israelites, right? Let's look at the Gentiles. You really love those Gentiles, don't you? And what do those Gentile rulers do? You love how they treat their servants? They lord it over them. What do you think that means? I think we know, but what's that kind of mean? Let them know who's the boss all the time. Don't step out of line. I'm in charge. You know, it's not a benevolent ruler. It's one who's chest pumped out. You little peons, stay in line, type attitude, right? So he says, the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not. And were those disciples, where are they living at right now? Where's all this happening a lot of times? What is in control? Who's the ruling class right now? The Romans. They're seeing that. You see these Gentiles. That commander does this and buddy, they get right after it. You see that every day. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whomever desires to be great among you shall be your servant. And whoever desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. You, my brothers, come here, brother. Come here, you two. I want to talk to you about this. You see this example of people in authority of this Gentile nation that we're ruled by right now. You see that. And I'm calling you to a higher purpose, a higher calling. He washes their feet, and ultimately he goes and sacrifices himself. When he's talking about giving his life as a ransom, they're calling him master, teacher, Lord. Are they right? They are right. That's who he is. Yet he's showing them how a real person who's concerned about others, who could be in control and do everything just that way, you will march in this little way and you will do these things. He shows them a higher way, a better way, a loving way. And he asks them to do the same. You think they remembered this lesson? When he's dying on that cross later, when they saw him rise from the dead? You think that's what it means? That's what it means to be servant. To have the power, the authority, the way to make things the way you want them, but not to do it. To ask people to live right. To ask, to show them how to do it, and then to ask them to do it, and then to pay the price because they're not doing it. What more can God do for us? Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, please.
I believe it's verse 13. That's what I'm going to pick up on.
Let's go ahead and pick up 13 through 15 here. I think that's all critical to this. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. We've been called to liberty. What is liberty?
Freedom.
Freedom, right? That's exactly right.
Freedom from sin.
Freedom from sin. That's man's two biggest problems, or sin and death. That's our two biggest problems, sin and death. Jesus conquered both those. His innocent blood gives us the freedom from sin. We don't have to hold on to it. I remember Sister Sue Clark, I can't remember if it was a Bible study one night or a sermon, and I talked about sin being like a ball and chain. And if you have I've had some experience with that just as a child. I think we got to go to some place and get some kind of ball and chain hooked to us so we could see what it's like. I think we were talking about slavery. And a person that's bound by a ball and chain, they don't just, that handcuff on them, that shackle, they don't just drag that along like that, because that's going to hurt your wrist, isn't it? It's going to wear on your wrist. They grab that chain and hold on to it. And then they drag it along or pick it up and carry it. And when we're in Christ, brothers and sisters, when we obey the gospel, God unlocks that handcuff, that shackle. We're no longer bound to sin. We're free of it. But someone that's been doing sin a long time, sometimes they keep a hold of the chain because they've gotten used to it. And what God reminds us, what His sacrifice reminds us is, what Paul calls us, we're at liberty from sin. And tells us, God's forgiven us, forgive yourself, and move on. Let go of the chain and walk away. Be new in Christ. Jesus tells us all the law is wrapped up in loving your neighbor as yourself. That's what he's talking about. Being not self-interested, but interested in others, right? Because that spirit that was getting ready to get into James and John there would start manifesting itself in verse 15. If you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. If we get into this biting and fighting, I take a bite out of you, well, that hurt, damaged you. What do you want to do? And bigger if you can, right? I'm going to take a bigger notch out of you, Dave.
Yep.
Right? And before you know it, we're all eat up. Mm-hmm. We're all eat up. Just like a dog fight. They get to biting, dog fights, they just start biting everything. You stick your hand in the dog, you might have the most loving dog in the world. If it's in a dog fight, and they're just rabid at each one another, you stick your hand in there, what's going to happen? Probably didn't mean to, but he's fighting, biting. We can't get into a frenzy like that. We can't take bites out of one another. Can't do it. We'll get destroyed. We'll destroy one another. We'll devour. Won't be nothing left to save. We'll be gone. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. I cannot see the clock. Okay, we'll wrap up here. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's service, right? Walking in good works. Because we're God's workmanship. And God's workmanship, if we're going to build a machine, we want that machine to do what we're trying to do, right? We're God's workmanship. He built us to help do His work. So, we'll conclude there. Let's do this. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work heartily, as to the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. It's Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. For us here tonight, we need to take that rebuke that Christ gave to James and John. Take that upon ourselves. Walk in that spirit of humility and love, because love never fails. We need to work in Christ's kingdom as service to God. Because He's the one that can make it right. The disciples saw Him go into, you know, He just told them, I'm going to do what? I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go there to prepare that place, I'm going to come back. I'll take you there, right? That where I am, you can be also. And the disciples saw shortly thereafter Jesus ascend into heaven. And those angels that were there said, you saw him go into heaven. He's going to come back just like that. He's going to come back. Christ is coming back. And he's going to take his people home. And we all need to do whatever we need to do to make sure that we have that home. Christ has made it possible. We need to let go of sin, turn from it. That's called repentance. Walk in a new life. Confess Jesus as God's Son, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Turn from those sins, then be baptized for the remission of those sins. That's where we get washed, in the blood of Jesus. The only thing that's possible, there's no cleanser that mankind's ever invented that can take away sin. Only one can do it is Jesus' blood. And when he does that, we have a new relationship. The old man is buried. The new man rises to be sin free, to walk in a new life. If we can help you with that tonight, let us know as we stand and sing.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee, let the water and the blood from the ribbons I which flow be a sin, a double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power, not the labor of my hands can fulfill.
In a moment, we'll be dismissed with a prayer. We want to keep in mind all those that are on our prayer list. Keep in mind those that can't be with us on a regular basis, those that are struggling with different things physically. Let's keep encouraging them. Let them know they're important to us. Let them know we miss them and that we would very much like to see them again if they have opportunity and be willing to provide that opportunity ourselves to help them to get here. Let's remember Doug's traveling tomorrow. Going to be gone for through Sunday or come back on Sunday, Lord willing, and his family's dealing with the passing of his sister. So he's in our prayers for both of those, for the travel and for the bereavement. Tomorrow evening is the Harrisburg Lights Parade, and that runs down Main Street. Most of us, probably all of us, have been there. Jamie, I don't know if you have. But Georgia has hosted this event for longer than the Millers have been in Harrisburg. And so it's a good time, some good food, and we look forward to an opportunity to go there again tomorrow. Georgia has welcomed us into her home yet again. Probably sometime after 4 p.m. if you're available and want to go by there, you'll have a really good time if you do. The parade starts sometime after dark, and they do close the route in advance of that, probably about 5 or so. So want to get there before that time anyway, or plan to walk a little bit.
For those who don't know, we can't park on Main Street.
Yeah.
But there's there's an alley behind my house. There's a garage back there, and that's
All right.
So you can park anywhere back on that alley that you want to.
All right.
The Farm Bureau's got quite a bit of FS, and Farm Bureau's got
that's
quite
right.
a bit of parking that's close by.
Yes.
So it's not a very long walk.
And they have some other things going on over there, too. You might, of course, we'll. I want to hurry to George's house, I think, so I'll pass that.
11 Saturday.
Oh, yeah, Saturday morning, 11 a.m., here at the church building to put together some of the packages. And then after that, there will be the delivery of those. So anyone that is available to help in that, please plan to be here sometime close to 11. Is there anything further that we need to make known tonight? Would you bow with me? Almighty, righteous God, our Creator and our Father, we're so thankful, Father, that you're a God of love and compassion, Father, that you looked upon us and you saw us in our sin, and you delivered, Father, exactly what we need in a Savior, Christ Jesus, the only fitting Lamb with that pure blood that was able to redeem us, to cleanse us. Father, we're thankful as your church to honor your name with our study tonight, with our singing, with our praying, just our lives in general, Father. We want to be a people that please you and that show our love in return for you. Father, loving you means loving the things that you love. And we've got so many lost souls in our community that you love, that you have compassion upon, just as you did with us. Help us, Father, to be serious about this evangelism program, to be serious about taking this message of salvation and hope to those that don't know you. Father, we want to be a people that please you. Only if we do so will we have that eternity with you in heaven. So bless your church, Father, as we start through this program. We pray that our work will be fruitful. We know, Father, it's our obligation to scatter the seed and you'll add the increase. Father, we just help us to be committed to not grow weary in our service to you, Father, to learn from the lesson that we had tonight, to imitate Jesus in serving. Father, we're just so thankful to you, and we ask that your mercy continues to be upon us. We ask, Father, that you would just help us to let our light shine here in our community, to just be encouragers of those both within the church and those that are outside. Grant us your peace, your forgiveness, your eternal mercy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Set, but it didn't go off for some reason. But I slept from 2 o'clock on.